God doesn't want him to be lonesome, right? That's why he created Eve for Adam. He didn't want him to be alone. He wants people to be together. He wants a family, and I really appreciate the family of God, so appreciate you, and this is a family day, and we're family, so welcome to the family reunion, huh? Yeah, it's a family reunion here. That's good. So anyway, I'm just stepping in for Dave. I've done some of this in the past. I'm a little bit rusty. I was associate pastor for Mike Manuel Fairfield for about 4 years, and I would fill in, preach for him. So it's been a couple of years. So if I stumble and fall or lay an egg, you know, you'll just love me all the same, right? That's good. Anyways, so so we're in the book of Proverbs. I'm kind of number 5 in this series. I don't know how far it's going to go, but I'm part 5 today. And I just want to review a little bit. Now, here's an easy question. I guess I could call this a Bible head question. Who wrote most of the book of Proverbs?
Solomon.
That was perfect. I hit John right in the gut. You get candy, John, for that. That's what we do here on the family deal. Chomp away. Yeah, you answered the question, didn't you? Yeah, you did. Okay, tougher question. What is a proverb? Can you give me a definition? What's that? That's kind of a story. What is the definition? What is it? Wow, good. Can you catch? Oh, no, I missed. I'm not good at the long bomb. Or the Hail Marys. I'm sorry, sweetie. But anyway, Solomon wrote Proverbs, right? He wrote 375 verses. There's some by Hezekiah and Lemuel. But he wrote most of it. And it's special because it's God's word, right? But the Hebrew word for it is to compare, be similar, or parallel. In essence, it's a simple observation or instruction. So Solomon was the wisest king, right? But guess what? We have a king that's a guest today. I wonder who that might be. He's not the wisest king, but he's definitely the coolest king. And if he's not the coolest king, he's the somethingest king. I don't know, but he's king. So help me give a warm round of applause for King Carl.
Well.
King.
Keep it coming, yeah. No, yeah, I'm basking in it, yeah. Woo! I love it, yeah.
He wants the applause warm and long.
Oh, yeah. No, stop. Yeah, please.
Okay. Okay. Hey, King Carl, it's great to have you.
Who
we're talking.
Are you? You are not the man I'm used to.
Well, I introduced myself. Where were you? But, oh, that's right. You hadn't come here yet. But
yeah, I was in the other room.
My name is Rock.
Like Igneous?
Rock. I'm no one special, you know, just Rock.
Like, spell it.
R-O-C-K, Rock.
I knew it.
You knew it?
I knew it. It was R-O-C-K.
R-O-C-K, right. Like, I'm not like Jesus, but Jesus was a rock. I wish I could say I was named after Jesus, the king, the rock. He was a king. He was the king of kings, right?
He was a rock?
He was a rock. The rock of ages, Jesus.
Oh.
The rock on whom I stand, right?
Yep.
All other ground is sinking sand. That's the rock we're talking about.
I was thinking like a stone.
A stone.
He's a dude in a stone.
Well, he is a cornerstone, the chief cornerstone upon all the apostles and prophets are built. Right?
Oh.
Am I going too fast for you, King Carl?
No.
Hey, King Carl.
I'm a little tired.
I can tell you're a cool dude. I can tell that already.
What?
I think you're cool.
I'm the coolest dude.
You're the coolest dude.
Best of all.
What is that like? What is it like to be cool?
I mean, I know. You'd have to know to be there.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm the coolest.
You're the coolest,
you know what
right.
it means to be cool?
Right. Hey, did you know King Solomon, did you know him?
I did.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
So you're like 3,000 years old at least,
way
right?
Way older than that.
Way older than that. Wow.
You back in my age, walk to school.
Through a storm both ways, 5 miles, right?
Exactly. A sandstorm. Because
a hailstorm.
The Sahara.
Oh, this is Sahara.
We used to walk to the pyramids every day.
No snow in the pyramids. Got it. I'm starting to figure this out, King Carl.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Hey, you know, there's Proverbs. There's scriptures in Proverbs talk about kings. In fact, in Proverbs, a king is mentioned 32 times. That's a lot of times,
32?
Right? 32.
Oh, that's how many times I failed my driving test.
Oh.
I haven't passed yet.
What were you, chariots or what? What kind of driver?
That was like 2 days ago.
Oh, okay. So you're trying to learn to go from chariots to whatever, right? Okay.
Yeah, to a Hyundai.
To a Honda? Well, that's pretty cool.
It was a Hyundai. I kind of
It was
drove
a
it
Hyundai.
Off a
bridge. The proverb says that the king's hearts are unsearchable. What does that mean?
I mean, it'd be kind of gross if you searched a heart.
Oh, really? Would that be like a surgeon?
What's a surgeon?
What's a surgeon? Somebody that looks into your heart.
Hey.
Yeah?
Truthful, but hurtful.
Hurtful, right, yeah. That's right. It gets right down in there. Right down in there. Well, King Carl, it's been wonderful.
You're
tired. You need a nap, King Carl. Of course,
I need another nap. I've only been sleeping for a month.
Being 3,000 years old, you need to sleep.
Yeah, once you're 3,000 years old, you know, you get naps, and then you nap.
Okay.
After the napping, you eat at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then you go back to bed.
Okay. Kind of like a baby bird. That's pretty cool.
That's what they call me,
the baby bird.
All right, guys.
King Carl, let's give him a hand. Thank you, King Carl. You're the man. You're the man. So anyway, King Carl, he's the coolest. Yeah, and he's already asleep. Oh, my God. Did they put a cot back there for you, King? Oh, no, they didn't. Anyways, so we're talking about Proverbs. It's all about wisdom, right? Wisdom. And, you know, it's in verse form, but I got a story. It's from a different culture. It's a proverb from the Chinese culture, ancient Chinese culture, and that was big back in those days. And so it's a story about a Chinese man named Cy Wang. Have anybody heard this story before? You heard it? Oh, when you were at my house the other day. It's my grandson. Oh, he's kind of a smart aleck. But anyway, the story of Cy Wang. Cy Wang had a prized horse. And his horse was missing. So he went to his neighbor and he says, I've lost my prized horse. And the neighbor says, oh, Cy Wang, that's so bad for you. You lost your horse. But Cy Wang says, how do I not know this is a good thing? The neighbor says, a good thing. So a matter of days goes by, and here comes the horse. The prized horse comes back, and with the prized horse comes a better horse, a more beautiful horse. And the neighbor says, Cy Wang, you're so wise, you're so right. That was a good thing. Your horse come back, and it brings a better horse with it. And what does Cy Wang say? Cy Wang say, how do I not know this is a bad thing for me? Cy Wang, what? A bad thing? He brings back a better horse. Well, in a few days, Cy Wang's son gets on the horse. And the horse bucks him off. And he falls on the ground down some rocks and gets hurt really, really badly. And so Cy Wang's neighbor says, Cy Wang, you right again. You're so right. It was a bad thing. What happened to your son and everything? And Cy Wang says, how do I not know this is a good thing? Cy Wang, you messed up. You perplex me, Cy Wang. And so a matter of day goes by, and there's a bloody war, and the emperor sent out his conscriptors to draft people into this bloody, awful war. And they come to Cy Wang's place to interview his son. They say, Cy Wang, we're so sorry your son can't fight in the war. He's too injured. And Cy Wang's neighbor goes, Cy Wang, you're so wise. It was a good thing. So there you go. There's a story of Cy Wang. And Cy Wang, by telling it in story form, you just sense the wisdom of Cy Wang. He was wired a different way, wasn't he? It's like, okay, things are not as they appear, right? He could see something that his neighbor could not see, right? And so what do we want out of the book of Proverbs? We want to gain wisdom, but we want that special extra level of discernment. One of my pastors from my past, he read a psalm every day for years. And that day, for the whole month, because there's like 31, right, chapters, he'd fill that month, and he'd just cycle every month. And I have to say, that guy was discerning. That guy was wise. So just to get into what I'm going to talk about today, I want to share, my central verse is going to be my favorite scripture, and I found out it was Steve and Sarah's favorite scripture too. Yeah, you over there, Steve, Sarah. Stand up and say hi. No, you don't have to do that. My first memory verse was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Who knows that one? Sandy.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct
you. There you have it right there. Another translation is says, in all your ways submit to him. What's that? I got her. Bullseye. I should be over at the baseball diamonds where everybody else is. But anyway, that is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But it's interesting, Steve pointed out something else too that kind of made me think. This is what I want to talk about when we talked about their favorite verse when they're over at our house. He said it, he pointed out that it's the very middle of the Bible. The Bible is 1,188 chapters, and dead center in the Bible, there's this verse. 1,188 chapters, but guess what the verse is? 1188. Isn't that weird? Psalm 1188. Psalm 118:8. And guess what it says? It says, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Henceforth, my passage today is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I'll restate what Sandy already shared, is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not under your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him or submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So I want to focus first, and kind of the central part of my message is going to be the four words in the middle of that scripture, which is, with all your heart. Now, depending on the translation, the Bible has 800 to 900 references to the heart. That's a lot. Now, I don't want to bore you with a lot of math here, but I think it's important. But in the book of Proverbs, 31 times it mentions the heart. That's like 9% of the time. Well, that's only 31 out of the 1,188 chapters. So the heart as a concept is really, really important in the book of Proverbs. So what does with all your heart mean? Kids. What's a candy? What comes to mind when you say something with all your heart? What does that mean? Okay. Look. Like you really mean it. I love that. I can put that in my notes. Holy muck buckets. That really helps my soul. Like you really mean it. I think we're going to remember that the rest of the sermon. You could also say intensely, passionately, wholeheartedly. My daughter Stephanie is here. And I always told her, if you're going to do something, do it with passion. Whatever it is, do it with passion. Go all in. You know what? That's kind of the person she is. Whatever she decides to do, she does it full-fledged, 100%. No looking back. That's with all your heart. So we're going to do some Bible head time now. We're going to get some scriptures going here. And here's what it is. We said trust in the Lord. We got one spot where we do something with all our heart, right? Trust in the Lord with all our heart. I found 8 other places in the Bible, 8, where somebody is doing something toward God with all their heart, okay? So we're going to look up these scriptures and you're going to tell me what it is it's they're doing with all their heart, okay? First one, Matthew 22, 37. Who's got it? 22, 37. Oh, over here, that young man. You want to read it? Okay, somebody read it. Because I don't have it written down here. What's that? We get a candy for not reading. No. Who's got it? Who's going to read Matthew 22:37? Deb.
You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul.
Okay, so what do you do with all your heart?
Love.
Okay, great. Okay, Deuteronomy 30:2. Deuteronomy 30, verse 2. I'm going to be sleeping with King Carl here. Deuteronomy 30, verse 2. What is it, Liko? So obey him with all your heart, right? We can't trust him with all our heart and love him with all our heart unless we what? Obey him with all our heart. He said, unless you keep my commandments, you don't love me, basically. Psalm 86, 12. Liko, get your candy. Oh, I hit Tammy right in the face. What? What? Right here. Okay. What is it? Speak out loud.
What was it?
86:12. Okay, so what? Praise him with all our heart. Good job. Here's candy. Oh, you get lucky once in a while. Okay, so what does it look like to praise him with all your heart, right? Think about that. So Psalm 1, oh, here's a tough one. Zephaniah. Anybody ever heard of that book? Zephaniah 3:14. It's in the Minor Prophets.
God sang it at your birth.
What? Zephaniah 3, verse 14.
Oh, I have 19.
That lady's a walking companion of Bible information. So, 3:14. And there's a few words here. What is it? Liko again. Boy, you're fast.
Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem.
Wow, so this isn't just to daughters, it's to men too. Sing, shout, be glad, and rejoice. Can you do that in church?
Yes.
You can?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I knew you could do it at the baseball diamond, but I wasn't sure about church. But that's cool. Right. I learned a song when we started going to church when Gina and I were married. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Sing it with me. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Okay, had to finish that one out good. Like a barbershop quartet. Psalm 119:10. Sing, shout, be glad, and rejoice with all your heart. 119:10. If you can't find it, it's the same as Jeremiah 29:13. I'm going to have to talk fast after this, I think. What is it? Liko, man, you just spot on. Speak loud, though, son. Okay, seek him. Seek after God with all your heart. There. I didn't hit Tammy that time. Okay, Psalm 119, 145. We're almost done here, folks. Trust me. 119, 145. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm. And two before that is the shortest, 117. And the one that's dead center, what? 118, right? 117 the shortest, 118 the middle, and 119 the longest. Okay, who do we got? You got it. 119, 145.
I cry out with my whole heart. Cry, O Lord, I will keep your statutes.
So cry out with your whole heart. Call out to him. He loves that. Want a candy? Okay, two more to go. Colossians 3:23. And the other one is Joel 2:12, and we'll be done. Colossians 3:23. What's that? What do we got? Wow. So basically, work. Whatever you do in your life, your occupation, your mentality is to do it with all your heart as unto God. Because he gave you the gift to work. He gave you the abilities to make an income. You didn't make those yourself. He gave them to you, and you give them back by working as a form of praise as well. And Joel, Candy. Good catch. The last one, I'll just read the last one, right? Save us a little bit more time. Where's one? Deb, you didn't get yours, Deb?
She's got the verse.
Oh, you got the verse. All right, Joel 2:12. Read it, hon. What's that?
That being, I got it. That is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your heart. Is that right?
Give me your heart, right?
Yes, give me your heart. I'm fasting, weeping, and mourning.
All right. So the version I says, it says to return to the Lord with all your heart. So basically, if you're taking notes at all, what could you write down today? What are you doing with all of your heart? All those things, right? Those are biblical things we can be doing with all of our heart. So what I want to talk about today is the heart. What kind of heart is it talking about, kids? Is it talking about our beating heart? Is that what it's talking about? Huh? It isn't, is it, right? But there's a lot of similarities. I think it's a lot alike. That's why they call it the heart, because it's a lot like our heart that's very central. Our heart is central to our cardiovascular system, right? It pumps blood throughout our whole body, bringing oxygen. It's really what keeps us alive, right? But it can become sick, can it, right? I mean, with bad exercise habits and bad eating habits and cholesterol and all those kinds of things, the heart can become sick, right? What is the leading cause of death in the United States? Heart attacks, right? So people aren't taking care of their hearts. Every 30 seconds, someone dies in the United States from heart disease. And so what do we need to go to? They need to go to the cardiologist. People are going there. And what does the cardiologist do? He runs you through a series of tests, right? Puts all these wires on you, puts you on a treadmill, and they do that, and then they put ultrasound, goop you all up and do ultrasounds. They do angiograms. Then they decide if they're going to do an angioplasty, and then they decide, what are we going to do? We've looked inside. Now we got to decide what to do. This is how bad your heart is. And then they've either got to put in a stent or change a valve or do a bypass. And in the worst situation, what do? Complete transplant, right? I think our spiritual hearts are a lot the same, right? They're vital to our spiritual health, number one. And number two, they can become sick, right? And I would venture to say that the number one cause of our spiritual death is associated with our heart. What's in our heart, right? And so we need a heart doctor. We need somebody to look in and examine and test our heart. Who is Solomon's dad, kid? Anybody know King Solomon's dad? Evie.
I can't
hear you. Am I turned up? King David, right? Well, Solomon was the wisest king, but you know what? I think who was the greatest king? I think the greatest king was King David. Of all the kings of Israel. Why do you think I say that? How can I get away with saying that?
He was a man after God's own heart.
A man after God's own heart. How do you get higher than that, right? This man had God's heart. I mean, how special is that? And you know, those 9 verses that we quoted, King David epitomized in Scripture every single one of those with all of his heart. That's what kind of heart he was, a passionate, intense kind of guy. But the one that strikes me the most was that last one that Deb read in Joel 2, because that really epitomizes his heart, because he did some really bad things, right? In fact, what did he do? He cheated, he lied about it, and he tried to cover it up by killing somebody. I mean, how in the world can you consider yourself a man after God's own heart? How can God look at you with such a special treatment? How can you remain special to God after having done all that? And I think it's because of he had the heart of Joel 2. He says, even now declares the Lord, I return to you with all my heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart. Tear your hearts apart, not your garments. Return to the Lord, for he is what? Gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. That's the attitude. That's the kind of God King David knew he had. That's the kind of God. Those last descriptions. And so he was the kind of guy that would run to God, even as badly as he messed up. David ran to God. He did, didn't he? He could have just turned away and been hard and said, I'm going to be punished so bad for this, I better just stay away. I'm just going to go do my thing now. But he didn't do that. Man after God's own heart. In Psalm 51:10, he says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Above all, he wanted his heart right with God, didn't he? So he said, God, take me to the examination room. Fillet me. Tear me apart. Look inside. Tell me what's wrong. I want to know, because I want my heart right with you, God. That was his heart. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 is another scripture. This is Psalm of David, and he says this, another memory verse. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any offensive or wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. That was the heart he has. That was the heart of David, what made him so special. The major point that I want to make out of this is God looks at the heart. To keep it healthy, it must be guarded. You know, David was chosen by the prophet Samuel. Well, what did he do? He went in and he looked at all the sons. And none of them were the one. But David was the one. God saw his heart and knew this was the special person. But I just want to say this. In 1 Samuel 16, 7, God told Samuel, he said, God, the Lord doesn't look at the outer appearance of a man. God looks at the heart. And I just want to say this. That's what we do, isn't it? We look at the outer appearance of people. We look at how they dress. We look at the car they drive. We look at the house they live in. We look at the people they hang out with. We don't look at what's going on in their heart. I think that's a sad thing. It's a challenge, really. But God looks at the heart. God is interested in the heart. But to keep a heart healthy, it must be guarded. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart. For it is a wellspring of life. Everything you do flows from it, is another translation. So we're going to do a illustration here. And you know, we talked about the heart being, our spiritual heart being like our regular heart. It's kind of a pump. It takes stuff in and puts stuff out. So we're going to do an illustration. I've solicited the help of my son, our grandson, Lonnie's son, Liko, to help me out here. And we'll liken the idea that the heart is kind of like a sponge, right? So wherever you put that sponge, it's going to soak up where you put it. And what's in it, it's going to, when it's squeezed, it's going to let it out. So we're going to go ahead and do a little illustration here. Help me with the table. We do this on Family Sunday, I guess. We do object lessons, right? What? So we got a couple buckets. Is that wobbly? These had grain samples in them, but now they got something else. Like that. And the hearts and towels. So, the sponge is like a heart. Wherever you stick it, it's going to suck whatever that is, good or bad. If you place it in something good, it's going to suck it up. It's going to put it out. Wherever you set your affections, wherever you want to put your heart, wherever that situation is, what's coming in is coming back out, right? This is kind of the heart. It soaks stuff up and drips it out. So we have to take care of our heart. We have to guard our heart, is the point. So here's object lesson. Okay, Liko. Bucket on the left. He's going to soak that thing up, and what he soaks up, he's going to drip out. Oh, wow. That doesn't look so good. Okay, we better switch to the other bucket. Go ahead and put the icky heart back in the bucket. Okay. Try a new heart. You need a new heart. Okay. Okay, I'm hoping this is a better outcome. I think so. Okay, you probably get the idea already where we're going with this. Got his heart stuck in the bucket. Well, that's what happens with a heart. Where you immerse them, they can get stuck there. That's a great illustration. Good job, Liko. All right. Thanks, Liko. All right. Wow. We just made a mess up here. It is like a kind of a grade school going on here. Oh, well.
What happens when I go around?
So anyway, what do you think? What is the bucket you want to put your heart in? Just saying. What's that? That bucket, right? What's going on with this bucket? If you stick your heart in there, is it going to have some heart problems maybe over time? I would say so. I think this heart, when it comes out of there, is going to need testing, right? It's going to need testing because I think it could have pathogens, right, where it's at. It could have E. coli. And then there's that flesh-eating bacteria. That's horrible stuff, right? And the one that I really hate is when you go swimming and you get those worms that get in your brain. So, man, that is, I mean, I want to take this illustration a long way, right? I want to make a mega illustration out of this thing. So we got our buckets, and you're wondering, what do you call this bucket? What do you call this bucket over here, right? I call that like septic sludge or something. It wasn't that, Liko. You're okay. It's not septic. Anyway, so here I'm going to simply tell you what it is. For our key scripture, which is trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, all your ways acknowledge Him and direct your path. This bucket is the trust in man bucket. Center scripture is better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in man. And this is the, oops, can you see it? That's the trust in man, and that's the trust in the Lord bucket, right? So, where do you want to put your heart with all your, put your heart, your sponge heart with all your heart, where do you want to put that is the point. That's the mega illustration. But we're going to take a little bit, we're going to make it a little bit more personal, take it a little bit more extreme. We're going to go to some contrasts here. We're going to go to the Old Testament. We're going to go to Jeremiah 16, verse 5 and 6. And there's four verses. There's two and two. The first two are extreme contrast to the second two. Jeremiah 16, 5 and 6. And let me read it. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on the flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in the salt land where nobody lives. That's kind of dire sounding, don't you think? It's kind of like watching Nat Geo on the Serengeti, you know, when the dry season comes and all of the animals need a drink and all they got is these little potholes are left. And guess what's around those potholes? Crocodiles and lions and hyenas, right? And the wildebeest and the antelopes and the springboks, they want to get a drink, and the zebras and giraffes, right? But they got all these predators. They're like, I need a drink. I'm really thirsty. But I know if I'm going there, I'm going to get picked off. It's a dangerous place to be. So this picture of the heart that trusts in man is a dangerous place, isn't it, right? It's a spiritual desert. It's dryness, emptiness, disappointment, discontentment. All the negative emotions of the heart. That's what you're going to find in the person whose life is about trusting in man. So think of those muddy pools, right? Those animals are trying to get to those muddy pools. That's what Liko put his heart into and squeezed out of. Desperation. Desolation. not a good thing. So what would you say the condition of that heart? The condition of that heart is going to be, it's a heart that's become dry, withered, numb and callous, disconnected from God. It's a heart that's going to have to go, it's going on its own, trying its best. And the causes could be many things. It could be revisiting old sin habits. It could be weariness from the distractions and stresses of life and a busy life. And I thought of this one. It could be the fact you surround yourself with friends that are not a good influence, that are sucking the spirituality out of you and keeping you from growing in God. Whatever the cause, that God's presence isn't felt here. God's presence is not perceived. It's so parched and dry. The heart is so thirsty that it begins to be dried and withered and it hardens, exacerbated by unmet hopes and unmet expectations. Now, this doesn't mean the person doesn't believe in God. It doesn't mean that. What it means is God now is way up there. To how many of you is God way up there? He's afar off. He's distant. I don't feel him. So I'm just down here doing what seems right. I'm just down here leaning on my own understanding, depending on the flesh for strength, like the scripture says. Sounds pretty tiring, doesn't it? And now God doesn't feel so close. He doesn't feel so good. They sang about God, so good. The goodness of God. God is good. He doesn't feel so good when he's so far away. In fact, when I think I do something wrong, he's going to do what? He's going to give me a big boot-sized kick in the rump, right? That's the kind of God he is. That's what I think he is. He's so far away. And when I need something and things aren't working out, and I have a crisis in my life, I make that rare 911 call, because I want to call him too much, because he's kind of a tough guy. I make that 911 call, say, I need help. Need help, Dad. Things aren't going good. I need you to make things work out for me. Plan isn't good. It's tough. And if you don't answer my prayer, I don't think I'm believing you anymore. And like the scripture says, a heart turns away. Proverbs 21:1 says, all a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Spiritual death. Proverbs 16:2 says, a man's ways seem innocent, but God weighs the motives of the heart. So what are you doing when you trust in the man, you trust in the flesh? You're following your heart, doing what seems right, leaning on to what you think and what you know. But it's a dangerous place for your heart to be. It can lead to heart failure. But that's the culture now, right? That's what we're told to do. Follow your heart. And Christians are as much to blame as anybody now. They really are. Those that claim to know Christ say, follow your heart. But left to itself, the heart is not a good thing to follow. My next major point is the heart is not your guide. The heart is meant to be guided, to be put, to be immersed where it's supposed to go. Proverbs 28:6 says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Matthew 6:19 and 21, many of you know this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust can destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Treasures on earth, treasures in heaven. And then it says, for where your treasure is, your heart follows. Heart says, you want to go in that bucket? Sure. I'm going along. Put me in there. I'm with you. You want to put me in that bucket? Heart says, put me in there. I'm going. I'm with you. I'll suck up whatever you put me in. And I'll make that. That's your affection. That's what you like. That's what you want. That's your treasure. I'm going with you. Can't follow your heart. Heart's following you. The treasure isn't something that's buried that pirates look for. It's wherever you decide you want to go. And your heart says, I'm coming with. So that's the one extreme, right? 16, Jeremiah 5 and 6. Now we're going to Jeremiah 16, 7 and 8. The other scripture began with, cursed is the one that trusts in man. Guess how this starts. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Remember the other one talked about a bush in the wasteland? It says here, he is a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. I was thinking about Chad Patterson teaching batting to my grandson. And he says, Lawson, don't fear the pitch. Step into it. If it's a good pitch, swing with all your heart. Swing for the fence. Knock it out there. Don't fear the pitch. Pitcher can be packing heat. Right? Don't fear the heat. When it comes. Isn't that a good lesson for our kids? Life's going to throw a lot of balls at you. And some of them are going to hit you and some are going to hurt. Don't fear them. Step into them. And the heart that trusts God steps into them. That's the difference. Thanks, Chad, for teaching me something about that you got to trust the coach. And the coach is Jesus. And with all your heart, step into the pitch and trust what he's teaching is true. It's a really different picture here, isn't it, than the first one? Really different picture. Bush in the wasteland. Big shade tree on a stream that's flowing where you want to sit and fish and be under the shade. Then be out burning up in the desert. No way to get under the bush in the wasteland, right? So I'm going to ask you, what kind of heart condition do we have here? Not sick, it's healthy, right? It's a heart that bears fruit because it's tied into a continual source of living water. And the living water is who? Is Jesus. Now, people that are operating out of that bucket, they operate out of overflow. They're not parched and wanting that drink and short of that drink and there's not enough and always needing more and I'm into myself and I just got me and I'm going to do it alone. I'm going to do what seems right. I got overflow. I got excess. I got abundance. I got joy. I got contentment. And it spills off into laps of everybody else. It bears fruit, like the scripture says, in season and out of season. No negative emotions being given off. And when things go wrong and crisis hits, what happens? Anxiety? No. What comes? Peace. The peace that passes understanding that guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Right? Different situation. And instead of becoming calloused, the heart's compassionate. Right? God's not way up there now. Who is he? He's way up there. I'm just going to please him, do my best, do what seems right. No, he's right there with me. He's near, right? I sense his presence. I feel him. I feel what he feels. I see what he sees. Jesus looked at the crowds, and what did he see? People that are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's what he saw. And when you're near to him, what do? You see what he sees when you feel what he feels. The presence of God is felt now. No calloused heart, a compassionate heart. And instead of a hardened heart that turns away from God because that God is mean and he's going to punish me, what do you do? No, he's a loving God. He's gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. That's a God I run to. So I have a heart like David. I run to that God. I go to him with all my heart. I stick with him. I don't wander off, do it my way, lean on my own understanding, operate in my own strength. King David returned wholeheartedly to God. Instead of doing what seems right and leaning on our own understanding, like the scripture says, the person has confidence in him. So it's finally over, folks. But in conclusion, I want to say this. What's the condition of your heart? I'm going to challenge you. What is the condition of your heart? Go ahead. Come on up, worship team. Are you experiencing spiritual dryness? You guys can get that for me too. What are your feelings? Are you feeling negative emotions or positive emotions? Emptiness, loneliness, dryness? Does God seem afar off to you? Is that how you operate with God? God's way up there and I'm just going to mind my P's and Q's. When I need something, I'll just put a quarter in the vending machine and God's a vending machine. He's just going to kick out what I need if I put the money in. Is that what God is to you? Then I think you got a heart problem. You don't know him. Are you always just doing what seems right? Maybe I'll go back to those things that I think are causes. Are you struggling with a sin habit that's keeping you from the presence of God and the nearness of God? Are you into something you know you need to surrender to God and get rid of? Or maybe you're just weary from well-doing. You're just tired and you've lost your first love. And God wants you to get your first love back. Come back. Or maybe you're just hanging around with the wrong people. People that just suck any desire for God right out of you. Change your friends. I'm serious. Good company, bad company corrupts good character. Change your friends. Get around people that love God. Get here with come to the family reunion. Right here. It says do good to everyone, but especially those of the family of God. That's what the Bible says. Make the family of God special to you. So in ending out, I said, decide today that you're going to have a heart like King David. You men here, decide to be a man with God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. Run to him. When you screw up, run to him. When you say something stupid out your mouth and you know you can't get those words back, run to him. He's gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. Let me just pray. Maybe just bow your head. I think some of these words that I pray are going to be for some of you, but just go ahead and hear me. Pray them in your heart with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess to you that my heart has been messed up. I accept the forgiveness that you freely give. Here's my heart. Take it. I surrender it all to you. Be my doctor. Look inside me. Examine me. Open me up. I'm returning to you with all my heart. I decide to immerse my heart fully in you. I want to make you and your word my treasure. I want to follow you, God, not my heart, each and every day. Amen. Thank you, folks, for listening to the word today. Worship team.